Everybody ready? Good morning. Happy New Year to you all. This is the regular meeting of the San Luis Obispo County Planning Commission for January 9th, 2020. Can we have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Ortiz-Legg.
Present.
Commissioner Campbell.
Here.
Commissioner Brown.
Here.
Chairman Moultari.
Here. Thank you. It's traditional we start with a flag salute. Would you join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Our first commission business today as the start of the new year is to elect a chairperson and vice chair. Does anyone want to make a nomination? I would.
Okay. No, please.
I would like to nominate our current vice chair, Commissioner Brown, to be the chairman for 2020.
A second.
Okay.
Can we say that?
Can we have a roll call vote on that, please, Ramona?
Does that need a second?
Does it need a second?
Well, I don't know if it needs a second,
okay.
But we got one anyway.
Got one anyway, okay.
Commissioner Moultari?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Ortiz-Legg?
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Okay. As is customary, we will change seats now.
Don't forget your speaker cards.
Oh, that's right.
You don't want to take these coffees.
No.
Not giving you my coffee. That little thing's missing off the edge. Anywhere at home.
Thank you very much, planning commissioners. I would like to say that I do appreciate Commissioner Moultari's work last year. He has gotten us through some difficult items, ones that were kind of convoluted. He's does a great job of that. So I hope I will be able to follow suit.
I'd like to nominate for the vice chair then Commissioner John Ortiz-Legg. And
second.
Okay.
Commissioner Moultari?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner John Ortiz-Legg?
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Very good.
Yes.
Thank you. Did I say anything? I'm here to support you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank
I
you.
May need it. Okay. At this time, we will ask for public comment. Members of the public wishing to speak on items that are not on our agenda, please come up and be sure and fill out a speaker slip. And I do have one. I'm sorry. Right here. Actually, I've got three. I don't know which. These may be speakers in general or people wishing to speak at the beginning of the meeting.
Okay, Tower Project.
Public comment. Eric Greenling.
Good morning. I'm Eric Greening, and I'd like to thank Commissioner Moultari for an excellent year as chair and welcome Commissioner Brown to that position. And I know he will fill it well, and I hope that you soon have a fifth commissioner who joins you as people who will treat all people fairly, regardless of religion, ethnicity, et cetera, as the four of you have. The alert I'm giving now is that the Cal Poly Master Plan, after two years of working on a revised draft environmental impact report to replace the terrible one that crashed and burned. They have a new one out for comment. It feels like a truncated comment period because they opened it and started the 45-day clock ticking at the beginning of the holiday break. So the deadline for comments is February 3rd, and the people who've reassembled on campus are suddenly dealing with that. I know the county tends not to get as involved with this document as the city does, but I would hope that at least for now the county would participate to the extent of requesting an extension on the comment period to Jeffrey Dumars at environmentalplanning@calpoly.edu. This is in some ways a considerable improvement over the previous draft. For example, they are no longer denying that there will be significant greenhouse gas emissions. They're not giving it an erroneous class 3. They're making efforts to fully mitigate it to class 2. I think they're depending too much on purchase of credits rather than on actual actions on campus, but at least they're recognizing it. There is a very serious issue relative to water resources. And when you look at the agenda item the city has on its, the city of San Luis Obispo on its consent agenda, its 2019 report on water resources, and you compare the city's universe with the Cal Poly universe, where it's making the assumption that because it has a robust city connection, it is not going to have any significant impacts on new water infrastructure or new water sourcing. It's very clear that the city and Cal Poly, for all the conversations they may have had, are in very different universes, and somehow that has got to get ironed out before we move on to a final environmental impact report. I don't know whether it means extending the public comment period and somehow putting supplemental information out there for comment that's real world, or whether it's withdrawing it for a while. I hope they don't have to go through years of another recirculation, but I hope the county studies this and weighs in, because there are some serious issues that we need to get past in the real world on water before they have a document they can build a huge project on. Thank you.
I have another speaker slip. I'm not sure if it's at this point or on an agenda item. John A. Weissen. Okay. Would you come up, please?
I'm John A. Weissong, and I'm a going on 87-year-old Korean vet. And I remember 3 years over there, about 8 months, I crawled on my knees and elbows and cradled an M1 rifle with 200 men. And then I came back after 3 years, but it's a long story. My mom was laying on her deathbed. Red Cross brought me back, and then I had to go back. And the planes didn't work back then. And so I was discharged to Fort MacArthur down in L.A. And I went over to Safeway and I asked him for a job. I was hired in less than 40 minutes. But he said I had to go to Santa Maria to work. I said, I don't know where that's at because I'm from Indiana. And I went to the Great Depression back there. And all the politicians in this California and state, United States should have gone through that, penny, nickels, and dimes. You'd learn. I went to a one-room school. I graduated. And here I am, 60 years in this dysfunctional state, and my family has had cattle all over. And at one time, we used to go down to Yuma, Arizona, and bring back Mexican steers. And we didn't have fires then. But this morning, I had to park down there every time, and there's no handicap around here. I've gone across country 25 times driving. And every courthouse, every public place, there's handicaps. But here, there's none. Why is it I have to walk two or three blocks at 87 years old? Why? Is this a different country, a different state? And the customer service is horrible, because I learned 60 years ago, the customer opens the doors, turns the lights on, pays expenses and paychecks. And I pay because I'm a taxpayer and I've paid lots. I used to haul cattle all over after cutting meat all day. I've hauled them down 46 with trucks to Formosa. And old Skinner Harvey told me one day there's over 30,000 head of Mexican steers out here. But we didn't have forest fires and we didn't have all that expense putting them out. I don't know where in the hell the common sense is today. I was born and raised with it. But there's none here, you know. It's horrible. It's disgraceful. And I have to walk two blocks for no handicap out here. And yet, every place east of here. Another thing is, east of here, they're building roads every day. There's a right place and a wrong place. There's a right way and a wrong way in this world. And you don't build houses unless you got a lot of water. And this place don't have it. Now, cross country, I've learned about reverse osmosis. And you got Oceania down here, millions of gallons going into the ocean. Don't give a damn. Let it go. It could be reverse osmosis put into lakes. I sat there in my house and I watched this TV and these poor guys up here at Paso Robles. I remember buying hay off them 60, 50 years ago. They used to get four cuttings of alfalfa. Now they get one. No water. Why? The Diablo out there is ready to go out. They have a reverse osmosis.
John,
you know, it don't make sense.
Your 3 minutes is up, John.
Yeah,
thank
I
you.
Mean, there's no common sense.
Thank you for
and
your...
And you need to improve it this year.
Thank you for your colorful comment. Okay, now's the time for... I don't have any more speaker slips. Is that all from the public? Looks like it is. Planning staff updates, future planning commission schedules, appeals, board updates on planning commission business.
So thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Erlen Singwald, planning division manager, long range and housing. Alexandria Fowler is on a well-deserved vacation, so I'll be giving the planning staff updates this morning. Your next planning commission meeting is January 23rd. The agenda is out for that meeting. There are two consent items for general plan conformity reports on a couple of real estate transactions that the county is involved in, and five hearings scheduled, so it will be a fairly busy day. Those hearings include a coastal development permit for a dog kennel and training facility in Calendar Garrett, a coastal development permit for a water tank replacement project in Los Osos, a conditional use permit for cannabis manufacturing use and mobile dispensary. And then also there are a couple long-range planning projects on the agenda for January 23rd. The first is the mining designation project. That is a package of amendments to the county general plan and land use ordinance to bring our code into compliance with updated mineral resource mapping from the State Mining and Geology Board. Also, the industrial hemp ordinance is scheduled for Planning Commission consideration on January 23rd. The public review draft of that ordinance has been out the last several weeks, and it's scheduled for a hearing before your commission on the 23rd. Looking further ahead, February 13th actually has no scheduled items, so we will cancel that meeting unless any items from today or January 23rd are continued. That date would be available for continuance. Then looking forward to the next Planning Commission meeting, February 27th, we have four hearing items scheduled: a conditional use permit for the Flying Caballos temporary events facility, a track map and CUP for a mixed-use project in Templeton, AT&T cell site in the North County, so a water tank design cell site. And then we have another long-range planning project also on the February 27th agenda. That's the water neutral new development phase 1.5. So that's the ag offset ordinance and related water conservation ordinance updates. Those were before your commission a couple months ago. The package went to the Board of Supervisors on November 5th, and the board carved out a phase 1.5. So when we presented those amendments to your commission, there was a phase 1 and a phase 2. However, at the board, The board and staff determined that there are certain ordinance amendments that could go forward without additional environmental analysis, and we can bring those through before the entire phase two package. So that phase 1.5, we're calling it, will come before your commission on February 27th, and I can speak more to that if you wish. Then March 12th, there is one conditional use permit on the agenda at this time. That's for two industrial buildings, and we have no items scheduled for the following meeting of March 26th.
Thank you. So that is our scheduled items. Was there anything the board decided that may relate to Planning Commission decisions? Anything that the board maybe took issue with the Planning Commission decision that you can think of?
I could speak briefly to that, the water neutral new development, the November 5th decision by the board, where the Planning Commission did recommend keeping the off-site offsets. The board, kind of consistent with their initial direction to staff, disagreed with that. They went ahead and removed off-site offsets. However, when they provided direction on phase two, part of that was to reconsider adding that back in once we have kind of some more analysis available.
Okay.
And then one more thing on also on that water neutral new development. The version that the Planning Commission saw would extend the ordinances for 5 years, and the board just extended that for 2 years, to check in 2 years and see if there's a need to extend it any further depending on how far we are along with the GSP adoption and implementation.
Okay. And I guess one other question I have. I had heard that we were going to be reviewing the housing element. Is that right or wrong, or when are we going to?
Well, certainly you will be reviewing the housing element. It's not something that's currently scheduled for future planning commission hearing. It's anticipated in this summer.
Okay, long way away.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, Ramona, I think we're going to, would you introduce the consent agenda, and we'll take a motion and a vote on that. It looks like that's the right thing.
Yeah. It's Chair Brown, do you want to take a public comment on consent?
Yeah. I'll move adoption of the consent agenda as written.
I would second that, but I do have a comment.
Yeah, that's why I did it.
Go ahead, Mr. Montari.
I don't want to pull an item, but I do want to note that item 5, which is the acquisition of considerable coastal property between Morro Bay and Cayucas, is something we should really be proud of as a county and a community. Mm-hmm. It's really remarkable, and it fills that missing tooth between the state parks land, state beach to the north, and the city and state beach to the south. And it's really a good thing. We should get more of that property inland behind the Morro Bay city limits if we can. So, very good.
And Chair Brown, before you take a roll call vote, you might want to open it up to public comment on the consent item.
Sure. Anybody in the audience like to comment on the consent agenda? And if so, please bring a speaker slip. Seeing none, can I have a motion from the commissioners on the consent agenda?
I think we have a motion in a second.
Do we? Okay. Yeah, you're right. Okay. Sure. Ramona, please call the roll.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Commissioner Moultari?
Yes.
Commissioner Ortiz-Legg?
Yes.
Chairman Brown?
Yes. Motion passes. Okay, Ramona, I think now is your turn to introduce the agendized items.
Item number 6 is a request for a fourth time extension by Coker Ellsworth Development, LLC, for a tentative, vesting tentative tract map. County file number EXT2019-00081 and SUB2004-00. Is this the consent?
Yes, this is consent.
I think that is.
I think
we're on item 8 at this point.
Yeah. I apologize.
Item 8 looks like the first.
Hearing item number 8 is a hearing to consider a request by Allison Rogers for a development plan coastal development permit. County file number DRC2019-00163. Supervisorial District Number 4, Young Choi, Project Manager.
I'll move to approve that item.
Why don't we listen to staff present that, and then we'll go from there.
Tell us what's
good morning, Commissioner. My name is Young Choi, Planning Staff. Staff is requesting a continuous for this item number 8, a request by Allison Rogers to January 23rd. However, I do want to let you know that on January 23rd, we are requesting continuous to off-calendar.
So has the January 23rd notice already gone out? Is that why we're continuing to a date certain?
So the notice has already gone out on this date. We're continuing to the 23rd for this meeting. However, on the 23rd on your agenda, we will continue to date uncertain, which the public will re-notice when we have a date for the meeting for that item.
Okay, thank you. Is there anybody in the audience who would like to speak to this item? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the commission. Motion.
I'll move to pass it.
Okay, so I'll second the motion to continue to the date certain.
Okay, Ramona, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Commissioner Moultari?
Yes.
Commissioner Ortiz Legg?
Yes.
Chairman Brown?
Yes.
Item number 10 is a hearing. Item number 9 is a hearing to consider a request by Sam Balakian and AT&T Mobility for a conditional use permit. County file number DRC2018-00176. Supervisorial District Number 1, Katie Nall, Project Manager.
All right. Good morning, Chairman, members of the Planning Commission. I'm Katie Nall, Planning Staff. I'll be presenting the conditional use permit, DRC2018-00176. So the project proposes the construction of a new unmanned wireless broadband communications facility located within a 55-foot tall faux elevated water tank consisting of 12 panel antennas, 36 remote radio units, two microwave dishes, and other ancillary equipment. The tank will be located within a 1,380-square-foot lease area surrounded by an 8-foot-tall enclosure. The enclosed area also includes a 44.5-square-foot equipment shelter and a standby emergency generator. The project will disturb 7,517 square feet of the 37.73-acre parcel. This disturbance includes utility trenching. The project is located at 1010 Truesdale Avenue, approximately 0.7 miles southwest of the community of Shandon. The project is located within the agricultural land use category. Here is an aerial view of the entire parcel. And here is an aerial view of the site of the lease area, which is outlined in red. This is the overall site plan. And here is the enlarged site plan, again, with the lease area outlined in red. This is the lease area and the proposed enclosure layout plan. And here's a closer look at the antenna plan and the equipment shelter layout plan. This shows the south and east elevations. The plan shows a cinder block wall enclosure, but the project has been conditioned to use a wooden fence to better fit with the rural character of the neighborhood. These are the provided photo simulations. This one is looking northeast from Truesdale Avenue. This one is looking southwest from Starkey Avenue. And and this is looking southeast from the corner of Truesdale and Starkey Avenue. Here is the propagation map of the existing coverage in the area, and here is the proposed coverage once the project is constructed. Staff recommends the commission adopt the mitigated negative declaration in accordance with CEQA and to approve the conditional use permit DRC 2018-00176 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B. I am available for questions.
Thank you. Commissioners, any questions of staff at this point?
I have one. In looking at the photo or the picture, aerial view that you've shown, and obviously we've had a lot of these come before us, but I've never seen one so close to a house, residential house. Is there any distance things, you know, in the...
So our ordinance only speaks to property lines. There is no requirement for distance between residences. So we don't have anything in our Title 22 ordinance.
Should there be, do you think? We don't have a rep here, do we, of the... Do we have an applicant here?
No, sir, we don't.
I was just curious of what their thoughts were as far as distance from residences.
We did get a property owner signature. Consent of landowner signature.
I think part of the process, the testing process, is always field strength at... in public areas. I mean, that's my impression. So they're always tested for field strength. And
right. So we did get an RF report, radio frequency report, which was done in July of 2018. And per that report, the facility meets all federal communication commission regulations and safety guidelines. And it was deemed it meets all those guidelines at ground level. So it was deemed safe for the residences.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Apart from the safety issues, which actually were kind of preempted if certain things were met, from an aesthetic standpoint, this does, as Commissioner Campbell has pointed out, this does put this rather large ancillary facility close to the neighbors as well as to the existing house. And I'm sure if the property owners don't care, it's not an issue, but the neighbors might. Maybe we should see if anybody shows up and has a concern about that, because it's a big piece of property, and I don't think adjusting away from the neighbors would affect the effectiveness very much of the tower itself. Anyway.
Commissioners, any other comments? Okay, now we'll turn it over to members of the public to speak on this issue. Neighbors, otherwise... I'm learning to get organized here. Too many tan pieces of paper.
You'll find there's not enough room in front of you.
Jennifer Talent.
She's been sitting here for an hour. Good morning. My name is Jennifer Talent. I'm in Shandon. I am one of the neighbors of this project. I'm actually here to present a protest to the location of this tower. Several concerns. My first concern is that the application of the report was not forwarded to the Shandon Advisory Council for review, as it is listed at the 1010 Truesdale address. I'm not even sure that it was actually presented with the original project address either, which I think was 555 or something along those lines. I've been on the council for a little over a year now, so I would have recognized that. I learned of the project through a presented spreadsheet from our liaison. My second concern is items on the environmental checklist, beginning on page 4, the aesthetics. Substantial adverse effect on a scenic vista. In those visual simulations that you had, you saw, it's I think technically page 6 and 7 in your checklist, the application, they chose three points of view that were all from vineyards, not from any of the residences, not from any of the neighbors. So our yard, our driveway, our garden, our recreation area on our 1 acre will look directly to the tower and being blocked by the tower from there, the vineyard, and then the foothills. So we live in an ag community, an ag environment. That's where what we do not prefer to see the construction, even if it is a wood facade. I have some other items on that, but more important, going back to that, the lighting, we do live in the country for a reason. It's a beautiful environment. I don't know what kind of lighting. It does say it's not going to substantially affect, but there's maintenance and other requirements for some sort of construction like that. So I am concerned about some of the lighting and the effect on that. And then, as of course, that all leads to property value. Property value will be affected by the view, by the radio frequency, which leads into my last piece, which is health concerns. We do have concerns for our health. We are less than 100 feet from that piece of equipment. Sure, it won't be a problem during construction, which is on page 32, section G, but when you go to page 55, mandatory findings of significance, there are health concerns with RF, as well as in the future, should there be any kind of improvements to go to this ominous 5G, that would be a much larger problem in the future. So we do have concerns aesthetically for today and then also for health concerns. Thank you for hearing me.
Thank you. I understand the aesthetics. I would have to say to the speaker that as far as the intensity, the RF intensity, the health issues, the Planning Commission does not have the purview to deny a project as long as it does meet the FCC standards. So there's nothing in our...
The RF report was actually from 2018 from the prior address project, not the current. I did forget to mention that.
You need to come up to the mic in order for it to be on record.
Okay. I apologize. No problem. Because there's one large piece.
You're saying that they took the report from a different location than this location.
Correct. And that was from the original address, not the new one, the 1010 Truesdale.
Okay. Thank you.
Could you stay there just a moment,
yes,
please? Katie, can you point out this lady's house on the page 3 of 15 site plan that shows the overall of the whole vineyard and the two? Yeah.
Correct. Actually, yeah. So I do have this slide, which shows the neighboring residences.
Which one is yours, ma'am?
We're the 400.
You're number 400?
We're the 400-foot location.
All right.
Okay, thank you. Do we have... Go ahead, Ortiz.
Yeah, about the address situation and the applicant address versus the location address. Is there any clarification on that?
Do you mean the previous 555 Truesdale?
Yeah, what was referred
yes.
to.
Yes, so the applicant actually provided an alternative analysis, and one of the alternative locations was 555 Truesdale, mm-hmm. So that might have been where the confusion is coming from.
Oh,
it potentially was the original choice, and then when they came out with this new location proposal, they provided a new RF report. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that.
Again, looking at this page 3 of 15 overall picture of the vineyard, et cetera, as you go on out Truesdale, it becomes less inhabited by houses, et cetera, and starts mm-hmm. going up a hill even. And there's well-developed roads in this vineyard, as you can see. So why not put it way in further, am I talking east or south, instead of right up with the houses? Was that ever thought of?
So, again, in the alternative analysis report, there were two alternative locations proposed. One did include a location similar to what you're describing, a little farther away from the residences. However, that would have required to remove cropland that was currently existing, and so they decided to move away from that.
Mm. Okay. Is the applicant here?
No.
Okay.
Well, nor the representative.
Or the representative.
Yeah,
okay.
Okay. Right. Just out of curiosity, we have a couple more. Are there also AT&T with no representative?
That would be correct.
Frankly, my understanding of some of this and being in business, the amount of grapes that would come out for a site this size would probably be more than offset by the lease.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah.
Also, I think it's important for the neighbor to know that these towers do take in consideration nighttime lighting, no lighting basically, but that we have a dark skies initiative that they have to comply with.
Correct. So we actually have a condition, number 41. No exterior lighting is approved for the project except for backup emergency lighting. So that should be accounted for.
Right.
Anybody else in the audience would like to speak?
Well, I'd like to know about the, I don't know, in regards to, and I don't know if there's anything we can do at this point, but I do think that, you know, that we have community services districts for these kinds of things to at least discuss and get better information so they can kind of go over this. And while I'm not opposed to this project per se, I do think that, you know, it would be nice for the community to be aware of these things when they come up, when they do have a services district opportunity. So I just want to make that comment.
Well, did this go before the local advisory board?
So we did send them a referral, and the liaison to that community told me that they were in support of it and that they wouldn't provide a physical documentation of it.
Right. Yes.
I was just going to say, from my perspective, and I agree with Commissioner Campbell, is that we have a big piece of property here. And the loss of cropland as a result of this small lease is incidental, I think. And from a remunerative standpoint, the lease would certainly offset the loss of those grapes, as Commissioner Campbell has said. I don't see why this has to be put right in front of the neighbors' houses for aesthetic reasons. You know, the health reasons, we're not allowed to comment on those, and that's something that we're not the audience or we're not the forum for that. But for aesthetic reasons, we are, and I think that a different location on the same property would be just as effective and much less imposing on the neighboring community.
Okay. Another reason might be utilities, but we don't know. We don't have a representative here, so we can't really make an intelligent decision based on no representative. So I'm going to bring this back to the commission officially, and we can discuss it and then make a recommendation.
Mr. Chair, Steve McMaster is planning. So if the commission is interested in exploring an alternative location, I think one of the things that we would need to that's certainly within the ability of the commission to continue it and ask the applicant to look at one. I think we would need to make sure we understand how much, for instance, vineyard would be impacted. We typically run that by the Ag Commissioner's office. So I think it's one of those things that if the commission is interested in exploring that, that would be my recommendation, is that we request that the applicant look into that and come back with a revised, where at least we would know what the, for instance, what the utility construction would be required in order to serve a different location and how much vineyard would actually be impacted.
Okay, I think we may have had an AT&T person come in.
Yeah.
So the question is, what the commission is deliberating is whether or not that specific location next to the houses is mandatory. Could it be moved to other parts of the parcel, say diagonally down or someplace else that would be not close to the houses? And could you introduce yourself, please?
Yeah, good morning, Chair, Commissioners. My name is Jerry Ambrose. I'm here on behalf of AT&T. My apologies for being late. In response to your question, the owner of that parcel owns those four spots as well as the parcels below, and that location was worked out with the owner because they're giving up a small sliver of their vineyard. So we would have to go back and talk to the owner, see if they're willing to give up a more a,
Well, it wouldn't be more, I don't think. It would be just a different part, the way I look at it.
Well, yeah, it's more because it infringes. It's just taking a portion of the site into
it's about 100. It's about 110 feet, as I recall, off of the street, the public road. Mm-hmm. So the further you go in, I wasn't here before, but was your question about moving it further east?
I think we were considering, you know, possibility of moving it to the far diagonal corner or someplace.
Or just away from the
away, but
neighbors.
It,
you know.
So the residences, sorry, on the top of the...
Could you put up the slide?
I'm sorry, would you put it back up? The property owner for this facility... He owns all of that in the upper northwest corner. That's his property.
Right.
Can you get your little trigger on that, your little red mark, please?
Cursor.
Katie? Or your white one? You're talking about that property? Sam owns that, too?
Keep going down.
Is it everything in the red line?
It's kind of, yes.
Okay.
Yes, right. Sorry. So those structures are owned by the property owner who's leasing to AT&T.
We understood that, but okay. The neighbors across Truesdale.
You're referring to the part across to the west.
Yeah,
that is a different ownership.
Those are different ownerships, and it mm-hmm. seems like it's...
400 feet. That slide that has the footage to the residences, that would be helpful. See, if we look back at that, Jerry, that we can see the distance, and if we could move it somewhere in... to the whatever that is, would there be a possibility of doing that?
Possibly, yeah.
I'm looking at the, keep that on, just below the 1064, go right straight down. I presume those two open spaces are well sites. I don't know, but they're open for some reason from planting. So perhaps an extension of one of those well sites into the vineyard, the loss would be extremely small, if any. Not offset by the lease.
Yeah, it would just be, I know it's not a concern of the commission, but it would be a much higher cost for AT&T in terms of running utilities. It just greatly increases the length of the utility run, that's all. You're talking about those two on the kind of the middle of the screen there?
Bottom. Yes, okay. Or the far edge of it, up above the 1064.
Or down below.
Or down below, yeah, one of those spots. There's a good road going out past that. That seems to be a good likely spot to put it. And I understand it costs more to run stuff out there, but too close to houses from my point of view.
Okay. Well, we can look at that, of course, if that's your direction. Sure, we can discuss
all right.
That.
Thank you, sir. So I'm bringing it back to the commission for recommendations. Anybody have an idea?
I do. I recommend that we continue this off calendar to allow the applicants to look for an alternative location on the same site that's farther away from the homes. And if it does involve some significant removal of the vineyards, at staff's discretion, you can refer it to the ag commissioners, although I think this is awfully incidental for a few hundred square feet.
So your motion is to continue the item?
On calendar for
okay, a date uncertain.
I'll second that motion.
Yeah. A date uncertain. We have a second. Ramona, could you please call the roll?
Is there any discussion on that?
Sure.
No, I just wanted to say.
Anybody?
Well, I do know that the ag vote trump things at times, so we could, you know, have to come back to this, and that would be if we do, but I think that, you know, it's... part of our responsibility to see of what the alternatives are. So appreciate that.
Okay. Now, Ramona.
Commissioner Moultrie?
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Commissioner Ortiz-Legg?
Yes.
Chairman Brown?
Yes. Motion passes. Next item, Ramona.
Item number 10 is a hearing to consider a request by Jim Bryden and AT&T Mobility for a conditional use permit. County file number DRC 2018-00038, Supervisorial District Number 4, Cody Shield, Project Manager.
Good morning, Chair Brown and members of the Commission. I'm Cody Shield, the Department of Planning and Building. And we're here today to discuss the Bryden AT&T Mobility Project. The project before you is a request to allow the construction of an unmanned wireless broadband communications facility consisting of a 45 feet tall faux elevated water tank, which includes 12 panel antennas, 36 remote radio units, 2 microwave dishes, along with ancillary equipment. The faux water tank would be located in a 1,026 square foot lease area, surrounded by an 8-foot tall wood panel fence. The enclosed lease area also includes a 64 square foot equipment shelter and a standby emergency generator. The proposed project will result in the disturbance of approximately 4,000 square feet, including utility trenching, on an approximate 22-acre parcel. The project is located at 1390 Los Sparrows Road, approximately 3.5 miles southwest of the city limits of Arroyo Grande. The project is within the residential rural land use category. Here we have an aerial photo of the overall site. And this is a zoomed in aerial photo, the site in red with the star. Here's the submitted overall site plan. Here we have an enlarged site plan. Here's the equipment layout plan. And then we have the antenna plan and the equipment shelter layout plan that's within the lease area. Here's the proposed southeast elevation. Here we have the proposed northeast elevation. Here we have photo simulation looking northeast from Los Barros Road. This is a photo simulation looking north from Los Barros Road. And here's a photo simulation from Highway 101 looking west from the highway. In the before and after, you can see. This is the propagation map with the existing coverage, which is none. And here's the proposed coverage. So staff recommends approval of the mitigated negative declaration in accordance with CEQA and based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B. That concludes my comments, and I'm open for questions.
Commissioners, do we have any preliminary questions for staff at this point?
I just have one. I think this is a reasonable location, and I think the use of a faux water tower, having driven by there, makes more sense than having a fake eucalyptus tree.
I do, too.
Absolutely.
But what I do notice when in the photo simulation and having driven by there several times recently is that the tower is fairly massive, and it sits on this pedestal, and it just kind of sits in the air. And I've wondered if we couldn't have some oak trees planted on the highway side of the pedestal, not to interfere with the propagation of the waves and all that stuff, but that would soften the look so that when you look at the photo simulations from Los Barros, it actually doesn't look bad at all. From the freeway, which is really the more important public view, I think.
Can we see that side, please? From the freeway.
That one. Yeah, would there be any reason why we couldn't require some landscaping that eventually over time would soften that pedestal view? I think because now it kind of looks like a giant billboard in a way.
Yeah, we can definitely draft some conditions proposing landscaping to be monitored over time until full growth.
Okay. Anyway, that would be a thought that I would have.
Okay. Any other questions, Commission?
Just looking at that site from the attachment 4 aerial, while I like the softening of views, it looks like, I mean, water and things of reality in regards to putting growth in there might be a little challenging for it to actually, I don't know, but anyway.
That's a good point.
We could take staff's recommendation on the feasibility of how that could be screened. Maybe, maybe not.
I think of the freeway and everything that I'm okay with the view the way it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, I agree. I just don't know what's going to really make a difference there. It is so tall, but it's better again than a fake pine.
Anybody on staff want to comment about the feasibility of, I don't know how much taller you'd have to go to actually screen that tank.
Well,
are there trees? It doesn't look like there are trees around it.
Well, perhaps the applicant can weigh in on feasibility of some landscaping. I definitely know that if you put in a tree that grew over time as tall as that tank, which I don't think would happen, that you don't want to block the radio frequency coming out of the tank. But we could possibly put in a few oaks to screen the enclosure from views from the freeway and possibly the lower bottom of the tank structure. Yeah. But again, I think the applicant should weigh in on the feasibility of doing that. But again, we can draft some conditions if that's where you want to go.
Yeah, well, I don't think we're asking for anything artificial. The question was about whether or not you could put in real trees that feasibly could grow to the and help screen.
Why don't we open the public hearing and hear from the applicant?
Sure. Public comment, please.
Good morning again. My name is Jerry Ambrose here on behalf of AT&T. I guess anything is possible. it's obviously there's no irrigation, you know, on the property. It's a large vacant parcel, so we'd have to go far and wide to find some kind of irrigation source. And then it's just the cost of bringing the water all the way up to that area. Again, anything's possible. It's probably more of a cost issue. In certain cases, we've used water, stationary water tanks on site to kind of slowly drip into the irrigation or into the landscaping. We've done that as well. So there are options. Yeah. It's just a cost.
I think we'd only be talking about two or three oak trees and with the drip system. And once they're established, they're on their own.
Right, yeah. There are several oak trees on the property.
Yeah, so we're not talking about something that would be.
So we'd probably, from a cost benefit, then we'd probably look at more of like a putting a water tank temporary for a couple of years or whatever, a year, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Somewhere there to water those.
Very good. Okay. Yeah. That was my only concern. I think it's an okay location otherwise. Thank you.
Okay, anybody else in the audience want to speak on this item? All right. Staff.
Mr. Chair, if the commission wants that, I would ask that we give us staff a minute so that we can find the appropriate condition to either modify or to add. So that the commission can see it. So,
okay.
That would be the first, I think, the direction is get some direction whether the commission wants us to include a landscape.
So the way I'd like to handle this is perhaps take a straw vote of the commission right now whether or not we want the applicant to pursue this and staff to pursue it. So who on the commission would like to see this tree project pursued?
I guess any time that there's trees, it's a good idea. We can always use more oxygen. I'll go with it.
I, for one, will pass on the trees.
I think it's a good idea.
Okay, so I think we've got a direction
Darren,
here.
Darren, what do you think?
I could pass on them, too. It's a good suggestion, but...
Okay.
I think so. I'm all right with it.
So we don't have a majority.
We don't have a majority for the option. So I guess
we should move to approve. I'll move. Yep. Make a motion.
Second.
To approve the which one is it here? The file number DRC 2018-0038. to adopt the negative declaration in accordance with the applicable provisions of the California Environmental Quality Act, Public Resource Code 21000, and approve the conditional use permit as stated based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and conditions listed in Exhibit B.
Do I have a second? Okay, I will second. Ramona?
Commissioner Ortiz-Legg?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Commissioner Moltari?
No.
Motion passes.
Hearing item number 11 is a hearing to consider a request by John and Etta Osborne and AT&T Mobility for a conditional use permit. County file number DRC 2019-00071. Supervisorial District Number 5, Project Manager Emi Sugiyama.
Good morning, Planning Commission. My name is Emi Sugiyama. I'm here on behalf of planning staff.
Could you speak up?
Oh, sorry.
Closer to the mic.
Yeah, to speak up
there
for us,
go.
Folks.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Emi Sugiyama. I'm here today representing planning staff, here today to discuss a request by AT&T for a conditional use permit, DRC 2019-00071. This project would allow for the construction of an unmanned wireless broadband telecommunications facility. This facility would be disguised as a 62-foot elevated water tank and would contain 12 panel antennas, 36 remote radio units, and two microwave dishes along with ancillary equipment. The tank would be within a 1,540 square foot lease area enclosed by an 8-foot tall wooden fence. The lease area would also contain a 118-square-foot equipment shelter and an emergency generator. The proposed project would result in the disturbance of approximately 16,000 square feet, including utility trenching and access road improvements, on an approximately 19.5-acre parcel. The proposed project is located at 4240 Rancho Road, approximately 4.5 miles east of the community of Templeton. The proposed project is within the residential rural land use category. And here you can see an aerial view of the project property with the project site outlined by the small red rectangle. Here is an enlarged aerial view of the site. The yellow star indicates a more precise site location. This is a general site plan showing the project vicinity outlined in red relative to the property. There is an existing dirt pathway, which will be improved as part of the project. Here is an enlarged version of that site plan, and here you can see a general layout of the project. Here is a top view of both the faux water tank, showing the antenna plan, and the lease area, which shows the equipment layout. Here you can see the proposed south elevation showing an 8-foot high fence and the equipment structure as well as the faux water tank. And here is a view from the west. The next few slides will show simulated views from public roads. Here you can see what the disguised facility would look like from El Pomar Road. And this is from Spring Creek Way. And here it is from Rancho Road. This propagation map represents the existing AT&T coverage of the area with the proposed site location represented by the small red circle. And here is the proposed coverage. Staff is recommending that the Commission adopt the mitigated negative declaration in accordance with CEQA and approve the conditional use permit based on the findings in Exhibit A and the conditions in Exhibit B.
Thank you. And Commissioners, questions at this point? Hearing none, the applicant or members of the audience, if they'd like to speak.
I
Good morning. Jerry Ambrose again, AT&T. I'm just here to answer any questions. I don't have anything to add to staff's presentation.
Okay.
Thank you.
Chair, I mean, Commission. Looks like we don't have any.
Okay.
Okay, so I'll close public comments, bring it back to the Commission.
This, from my perspective, this seems like a perfectly good location. It's remote, and unlike the very first one, it's away from all houses. It does take out some trees, but it seems like a very reasonable thing, so I support it.
Okay, I do too. Anybody like to
Same thoughts there. I'm very familiar with the area. I live about 2 miles from it and drove up there. A lot of abandoned trees and old orchards, mm-hmm. et cetera, so it fits real good there, no problem.
Okay.
And if it was a real water tank we were putting up there, we wouldn't say anything about it.
Yeah, that's true.
It wouldn't be.
You're right. It looks better than some of those green ones.
And then the other thing is that this is federally mandated, required for us to get these things up, so people do have their connectivity. So,
you gonna make a motion?
I'd move a staff's recommendation. That's Commissioner Campbell's district.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Ramona?
Commissioner Moultrie?
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Commissioner Ortiz Legg?
Yes.
Chairman Brown?
Yes.
Okay. I guess I would move that we enter all testimony and materials into the record.
Second.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye. And then a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Yeah.
I do.
So move.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Very good. Thanks.
Make note that it is 3 minutes after 10 o'clock, I think.
Who